Today's daf is daf Nun Beis. We're holding the second line from the top at the end of the line where it says Reb Yehuda Nami Neol Bein Menoira LeKoisel. We already spoke about this yesterday. When we go back to Nun Aleph Omid Beis, we had in our Mishnah and then subsequently in the Gemara that the Kohen Gadol would go now towards the Kodesh Kedoshim, and en route to Kodesh Kedoshim he carried with him naturally the kaf in the left hand, the machta in the right hand, is going in for purposes of the chafinas haktoiris. The question is, what route did he use in going into the Kodesh Kedoshim? We had a three-way machloikis. If you look back at the braisa of yesterday, the braisa is roughly 10-12 lines from the bottom of the Amud, where it says, Toner Abona, Ben HaMizbeach Lemenoira Hoyim Mahalach. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says he went to the Kodesh Kedoshim through the Heichal, and he walked in the direction between the Mizbeach and the Menorah. We know the Menorah is on the left-hand side, the Mizbeach is in the middle, Shulchan is on the right-hand side, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're going towards the left. Rabbi Meir Oimer Ben Shulchan LeMizbeach. Rabbi Meir says that we're going towards the right, between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach. The Yesh Oimer, and who the Yesh Oimer in the Gemara identifies as Rabbi Yosi Ben Shulchan LeKoisel. Aha. So Rabbi Yosi holds that the Kohen Gadol went all the way over in between the wall and the Shulchan.
David, I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me? Can anybody else hear me? Oh.
No problem.
Okay, thank you. All right, can you hear me now?
Oh, yes.
Beautiful. Yes. I don't know what happened.
No,
beautiful. Okay, thank you very much. So we're on today's daf is daf Nun Beis. And we're just doing a very short recapture of what we learned yesterday on Nun Aleph Amid Beis, where the Braisa says, Tanur Rabban, and 10-12 lines on the bottom of the Amid, a three-way machloikis, what was the route of the Kohen Gadol into the Kodesh Kedoshim? According to Yehuda, it was between the Mizbeach and the Menorah. According to Meir, it was between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach. And according to Rabbi Yosi, it was between the Shulchan and the Koisel. The reason why Rabbi Yosi holds between the Shulchan and the Koisel is because Rabbi Yosi holds that the opening to the curtain separating between the Heichal and the Kodesh Kedoshim was on the right hand side. So therefore, he went, made a beeline, if you will, between the Shulchan and the Koisel, straight ahead. The distance between the Shulchan and the Koisel, we learned previously, was 2.5 Amis. Gave him plenty of room for him to walk and to go with the Kafa Machta straight ahead into the Kodesh Kedoshim. That was Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Meir said, although I agree with you, Rabbi Yosi, that we're going to go to the right, because he also holds that there was only one entranceway, only one Pareiches. However, Rabbi Meir felt it was a little bit a shtickel nishka derech eretz, a shtickel chutzpah to go straight ahead. Why was a shtickel there, Nishka? Why a shtickel chutzpah? So last line, the Gemara said back on yesterday's Amud Beis, Shem Shechina Lav Oirech Ara. What's the Lav Oirech Ara, top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph, Lemeya Lehedya? So Rashi said, to go directly in, Kol Shoh Einav Nizoinois Mibbeis Kodshe Kodoshim, Derech HaPripa Shekenegdoi. As he's walking towards the Kodesh Kodoshim, since the Kodesh Kedoshim's curtain is slightly open, the word pripa, we'll see mentioned in the Amud Beis, means that it was pinned back a little bit, kind of as a easy handle to be able to get into the curtain, through the curtain, into the Kodesh Kedoshim. So that entire span that he was walking, he would be able to look directly into the Kodesh Kedoshim. And the Gemara considers that to be a chutzpah. And therefore, Zok the Gemara says, Rav Meir, I wouldn't go that way. I'd rather go a little bit of a circuitous circuit, and that is a circuitous route between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach, and therefore only arrive at that curtain at the last moment. But what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Rabbi Yehuda holds Bein HaMizbeach LeMenorah. And the obvious question is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's not looking into the Kodesh Kedoshim from the right side, because he's going in from the left side. And the left side, which is the Tzad Doraim, there are two Pareiches in. And therefore, you cannot see into the Kodesh Kedoshim unless you walk that entire length from the opening of the Doraim side of the first curtain. Walk all the way down the 20 Amis from one end to the other. And then you enter in on the right-hand side through the Tzafon side. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, why didn't you also walk between the wall and the menorah instead of between the mizbeach and the menorah. It's a much more direct route. The Kohen Gadol enters into the Hechel instead of trying to wiggle through between mizbeach and menorah. Let him just go all the way to the left hand side, to the wall, straight ahead, and enter into the first curtain, then make a right turn and go through the second curtain. On top of Nun Bey's Omer Aleph, second line, Rabbi Yehuda Nami Neil Bein Menorah Lekoisel, just like Rabbi Yehuda said, you go between the, not like Rabbi Yehuda, just like Rabbi Yossi said, you go between the wall, the Shulchan, and the Koisel. Let him say you should go between the Menorah and the Koisel. And here we don't have the problem of Remeir, that you can look straight ahead and you're Einov Nizoinois Min Bey's Kodesh Kodoshim, because you can't see in the Kodesh Kodoshim. There are two curtains there. Ever the Gemara, the reason is Mishachrei Manei. The reason is because, unfortunately, whenever you have any type of candle, any type of light, any type of fire, there's always going to be a certain degree of soot. And so therefore, some of that soot was going to get on the wall, the left-hand wall of the Kodesh Kodashim. And as the Kohen Gadol is walking in between the Menorah and the wall, he might get too close to the wall, and his big de lovan are going to soon be big de shochar. They're going to be dirty. And when the big de lovan are dirty, it's not just a question that it's pasnish, that it's not bekovedik. The law is, when it comes to big de kahuna, if they are either miluchlochim, mitushtoshim, mikuroim, if they are soiled, if they're dirty, if they're torn, they possibly can't use them. So we don't want the Kohen Gadol to go and dirty his big day lovan. Therefore we say, no, that's much better going between the Mizbeach and the Menorah, and then it won't be exposed to that soot. And that's the conclusion of yesterday's Gemara. And now we get back to the inyan of the Amatraxin. What's the Amatraxin? We said yesterday in the Mishnah, and then afterwards in the Gemara, that there were three separate types of separations between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim, starting off with the Mishkan. In the times of the Mishkan, it says Befeirish in the Torah that there was one Paroichus, V'hevdila ha-Paroichus lachem bein ha-Kodesh v'bein Kodesh ha-Kodashim. There was clearly a Paroichus. When it came to the first Beis HaMikdash, there wasn't a Paroichus, there was a wall. And that wall was called the Amatraxin. What was the thickness of the wall? An Amma. That's why it was called the Amatraxin. Why did it get the name Traxin? We'll explain that in a moment. And then in the Mikdash Sheni, there was no Amatraxin, but rather they had two separate Paroichasin. And the space between one Paroichas and the other was one Amma. That's the way our Tanakhama learns. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi holds even in the second base of Mikdash, there was only one Paroichas. Fine. But let's go back to Amatraxin now. What is the Amatraxin? Again, it's a wall that is in between the Kodesh and Kodesh Kodashim. How did he get such an interesting name, Traxin? So you'll see Rashi here on Nun Beis Amar Aleph, seven lines from the top, Traxin Loshin Ponim V'chutz. V'chutz who? Ponim V'chutz means that you can go and see, or not that you can see, that it's both within and without. Ponim means like Panemius, Pnim, inside, and chutz means outside. So the two sides of the wall, one was on the inside and one was on the outside. You had a wall on both sides. That's the definition. Now, Tosis disagrees somewhat. If you look at Tosis Nun Aleph Amud Beis, yesterday's Amud Beis, Tosis brings Rashi. As you can see, Tosis is already on his next cycle of the Daf, because he knew already that the Rashi is on the Amud Aleph, and this is already on the other days of the next cycle. Traxin, Pirush Rashi, Ponim V'chutz. V'yesh V'farshim Traxin is Meloshin Troku Gali. What does that mean, Troku Gali? Shesogar Hoya. The word Troku means that the doors, Gali means the Sh'orim, the gates, or the doors, Troku, were locked, and we're going to open them. Shesogar Hoya Lefnim Heimenu. Behind this wall was locked in, not really locked in, but it was closed in. Haluchais, shenitnu b'sinai. Ah, so the word traxin, troiku is the first part of traxin, troiku. And the second part of traxin is sin from Sinai. So locked behind the curtain, not really locked, but closed behind the curtain, are the luchais which were given Sinai, and that's how you get the name traxin. Notice that there's a small little yud at the end of the Tosfos, which brings us to Maseiros HaShas. If you look at Oisir Maseiros HaShas, upper left hand corner, Ayin Tosfos Bava Basra to Maskel Traxin Uba Orach Kosav to Beloshin Yovan Hu Traxin. The word Traxin is really a Greek word, Panavachutz, inside and out. Kaloimar Misap Kalahu Ikilafnim Ikilachutz. The word Traxin itself has a connotation of, is it inside or outside? In Gittin, Traxamoin, Vidoy Melisha Huloshin Yavoni, Kimoi Traxin Ayincham. So, bottom line is that the word Traxin seems to have Greek origins, and that it means Panim Vachutz, inside and out. Toises has a nice Rosh HaTevis, that Traxin is a contraction of two words, Troik and Sinai. But what means inside and out? It means that you have a wall there, and I'm not sure whether the wall is an inside wall or whether it's an outside wall. What do you mean? Let's go to Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Omer of Nosin, fourth line. Amatraxin leYichriyah byChacham iKelefnim iKelechutz. With the Amatraxin withstanding that space which it occupied, the Chacham weren't able to go and decide: is that space really Heichel space or is it Kodesh Kadoshim space? And you're wondering to yourself, what difference does it make? In truth, at the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't make any difference, because the Amatraxin occupied and filled up that area between the Heichel and Kodesh Kadoshim. But in the second Beis HaMikdash, where they could not make an Amatraxin, the reason why they couldn't make an Amatraxin is because in the first Beis HaMikdash, the height of the wall was all of 30 Amos. And that, they said, the architects and construction people said, that works, that's not a problem. However, in the second Beis HaMikdash, there's a machlokes whether it was 40 amos tall or whether it was 100 amos tall. And therefore, the architect said, if you're going to have a wall which is only one amma wide, Chas v'Shalom, the whole wall will collapse and it'll be a tremendous sakana. So what are we supposed to do? Go and put up a curtain. But where am I going to put the curtain? If I'm going to put the curtain too much, because I'm trying to put the curtain and the mokum where the Amatraxin was. So now, if I put it too much to the Heichel, then that area which was occupied by the Amatraxin, I'm adding now to the Kodesh Kadoshim. But the Kodesh Kadoshim is only supposed to be 20 Amos in length as well as in width, and if I'm going to add one more, it's going to be 21. So you're going to say, okay, so put the curtain at the inner edge of the Amatraxin, and so therefore it'll be exactly 20. Guess what? Then I'm going to be adding one Amma to the Heichel, and I'm going to make it 41. Moreover, if in fact that one Amma was supposed to be Kodesh Kadoshim and not Heichel, if a person were to walk on that Amma, oh yoy yoy, you're not allowed to walk into Kodesh Kadoshim only one time a year, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, but otherwise you're not allowed to walk over there. So they weren't able to machriya is kelfim kelchutz, and that's why they made two separate curtains. One curtain to the inside, one curtain to the outside, and so therefore the amma in between is as if you had the Amatraxin. That space nobody walked on, except again the Kohen Gadol once a year. Maslo Ravina, my time, what's the reason why they couldn't be machriya? Ilay mishum dechsev, it's in the pasuk. By the first base of Migdosh, va bayis shvan am lach shloimoy la shem shish mam or koy vi esem roch va yushloishim am koy mosoy. It was 60 amos long, 20 amos wide, and 30 amos tall. Now, 60 amos that we're referring to is not the whole base of Migdosh, the whole base of Migdosh, much, much longer than that. But we're talking about starting from the Heichel through the Kodesh Kadoshim. Because the Heichel was 40 amos long. When we say long, meaning when you enter into the Heichel from the Mizrach side, and then you leave the Heichel on the Marav side, which is the Kodesh Kadoshim, it's 40 amos long. Then when you go into the Kodesh Kadoshim itself, that's 20 amos long. So 20 plus 40 gets you to 60. Okay, so that's 60 amos. Uksiv, we are boim ba'amo ha'yabayis, hu ha'heichel, lefonai. The Pasuk says that the Heichel was 40 Amos. That's 40 out of the 60. Uksiv, then there's another Pasuk. But if they had Dvir, in front of Dvir, Dvir means in this connection, the Kodesh Kadoshim. The word Dvir has two interpretations. Either it's the Kodesh Kadoshim itself, or it's the Machitza that's Mavdil between the Kodesh and Kodesh Kadoshim. So for our purposes, the Fnei had Dvir, behind the Dvir, the curtain, How much do you have there? Esrim amma, 20 amas oirech, vi esrim amma roich, vi esrim amma koimasei. Oh, 20 amas. And so therefore, I have altogether 60. I've subdivided the 60, 40 in the heichel, 20 in the kodesh kadoshim, v'liyadin and amatraksin, imahani esrim, imahani abad. So therefore, now I understand what's the Gemara's problem. Why Reb Nosson said, amatraksin liyichri boichacham, mikelfnim, mikelchut. Because, is it part of the 40? Or is it part of the 20? Maskel Ravina is asking, who says that it was part of the 40 or the 20? The Dimuloy Mahani Esem, Veloy Mahani Arbon, Vechalola Kachoshiv, Koysalun Le Kachoshiv. Maybe the Pasuk, when it's talking about the 40 and the 20, it's talking about the Cholol, the ear space, where people can walk and go and come, and where the Kalim were in the Kodesh, and where the Aron was in the Kodesh Kodashim. But the Kosalim are not even part of the equation over here. They're separate. So you're going to say, it doesn't sound like that, because it says Shlomo Melech made 60 Amos Orkoi, and it's 40 plus 20, there's a problem. So Gemara tell you that, no, I'll bring you a raya that in fact the walls are enumerated and are measured separately. The where the Pasuk, or in this case the Mishnah that we're going to learn in a moment, when it goes and goes through all of the structures and all the space, etc., you'll see that the Koisolim are Choshev Leili Didei, each one is Oskerech, and each one is enumerated and listed separately. Ditnan, we have a Mishnah. Mishnah Mesechtas Midos. Very simple Mishnah, and you're going to have to help me with the arithmetic. We start off, a heichel was meya al meya b'roim meya. The entire heichel, including the ulam that precedes the heichel itself, and the walls of the heichel, and the kodesh kadoshim, and the ta are the chambers that were in the front and the back, and on the sides of the kodesh kadoshim, as well as the back wall of the ta. Everything bakol mikol kol, as you'll see, was 100 by 100 b'roim meya, 100 amos tall. That's why Rashi said yesterday, the amitraxin, you couldn't make the wall 100 amos tall. There's another gear so that it's mem instead of mea, which would make it only 40 amos tall. But anyway, so vashteta, eichel mea al mea, beroim mea, koisel ulam. So now we're starting from, you've left the azara, you've walked up the ma'alois, the steps that lead into the ulam. Before you enter into the ulam, the first thing you have is the koisel ulam. That's the wall. And that is chomesh, that's 5 Amos wide. The ulam, and the ulam itself, achas esrei, that was another 11. So 5 plus 11 gets us?
16.
Then the koisel hechel, the koisel of the hechel, we're leaving now the ulam into the hechel, the wall, the thickness of the wall of the hechel is, sheish is 6. 6 and 16 is? 22. The orkoi, and now the actual length of the hechel itself, like we said before, is arboim amma. So that's 40. 40 plus 22 gets you to 62. The amitraxin and the width of the amitraxin, that's one more. 62 plus 1 gets you into 63. Notice amitraxin is listed separately. 63. V'chof amah beis kodesh kadoshim, 20 and 63 gets us to 83. The koisel ha-heichel, meaning the koisel of the kodesh kadoshim, is sheish, is another 6. 83 plus 6 gets you to 89. V'hato, immediately behind that wall, there was a ta. There was a chamber. That was sheish. That's 6. 89 and 6 is 95. The koisla ta. And the wall of that chamber on the other side was chamesh, is another 5, is 100 altogether. So the arithmetic shtimt. Baruch Hashem. So what do I see from this? That the amitraxin was neither part of the 40, nor part of the 20, and it was separate on its own. So why did the Gemara begin? Reb Nosson says, Hamatraxin, they went to be Machriya. Is it Kilifnim? Is it Kilichutz? Is part of the 40, part of the 20? You forgot the third option. That it's on its own. It's not part of the 20, not part of the 40. It's separate, independent. Says the Gemara, Ella. I'll explain what Reb Nosson meant when he said, Lehechriya Vechacham. He wasn't talking about the measurements, whether it's part of 40 or 20. Ella Kedusha say, Ekilifnim, Ekilichutz. That ear space of the one amma wide, or one amma long, depending whichever way you want to look at it, that one amma, the question is, what kedusha did it have? Did it have heichel kedusha, or did it have kodesh kedoshim kedusha? And that's the reason why they made two curtains, and nobody should walk there throughout the year. So those two curtains, if you were to measure from one curtain to the other, in terms of the space, it was an amma. That was the amma of the amatraxin, which the two curtains replaced. Boy Yosef Ish Hutzel. Yosef Ish Hutzel asked the following question. Udvir betoich habayis mipnima, heichen lesitin sham es aroin bris Hashem. So Yosef Ish Hutzel was learning this pasuk. This pasuk is a pasuk in Malachim. And we're talking about the construction of the first base of Midrash in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. And there was a dvir. A dvir, once again, is the machitza, which is mavdil, between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodoshim. And what does it say about that machitza? It's betoich habayis, it's in the house, meaning in the space between the Heichal Kodesh Kodoshim, and mipnima, from inside, from beyond the dvir, heichen, go and prepare, lesit and sham, to go and put there their own bris Hashem in the Kodesh Kodoshim. So the pasuk on the surface sounds fine, but what's Yosef Ish Hutzel Shaila? Iboilahu, heichi ka'amakra. When it says in the word mipnima in the pasuk, how do you define the word mipnima? Heichi ka'amakra, udvir betech habayis, mipnima heichen lesit and sham. Do you go and say almost with a comma? Udvir betech habayis. You put up this dvir, this paroichas. And, or in the case of the first base of Midrash, they went and put up the amatraxin. And the pnima, from beyond the amatraxin, pnima pnimius, inside into the Kodesh Kodashim, beyond the wall of the amatraxin, hey, from the seat of Shem, go and put up the ore. Or perhaps, hachikama, udvir betech habayis mipnima, that the dvir betech habayis itself is part of the pnim. It's not that we're saying, when you finished the dvir, you finished that wall, then continue on into the Kodesh Kodashim, and build over there, or place over there, the arayin, but in fact, the dvir itself, the machitz itself, is mipnima, is part of the pnim. If you look at the Rashis, heichik omakra, Rashi is about 10 lines from the bottom. Mi amrin en hachikamer. Udvir betoich habayis. Mechitza osa shemafsekis betoich habayis. That's the partition, the wall.
Is this amatraxin?
Amatraxin.
Yeah.
Mipnim meheichen. V'lefnim me'oise mechitza. Mipnim means lefnim, beyond the, within the walls of the Kodesh Kodosh and beyond the Machitza. Heichen, prepare, mokum chalola, that empty space. Vizminu l'asi sham, esa orin, and prepare yourself to put the orin there. Al medvir guf elam mikdushas penimu. Okay, so you see pretty clearly, according to this interpretation, that we're saying, when you go beyond the dvir, from the dvir and beyond, oh, that's the Kodesh Kodosh. Oy dil mochikom, udvir betrich habayis, mitnima, that the mokim hadvir gufei mishal pnim hava, that's part of the pnim. It's not beyond the dvir, but it's dvir included. It's like the ad the ad bechlal, ad veloy ad bechlal. Oysoy, heichem lesita shom, oysa knisa, esarn. In that space, starting from the dvir and beyond, that all being one large Kodesh Kodosh area, go and put a place there, make a place there for the art. And so therefore, bottom line is, that was the Shaila, and that's the Shaila that Ramnosen had, and that's the Shaila why they had to go, that's the reason why they had to go make two separate paroiches, and because we didn't know whether the Amma tracks in space, that Amma was a part of the Kodesh, not in terms of the measure. Measurements, we know, this is 20 and that's 40. But what Kedusha did it have? Did it have Kedusha Sehechel, or Kedusha Kodesh Kedoshim? Freit Yimara, did he in fact have a suffix? Now who asked the suffix? That was Yosef Ish Hutzel. There are five psukim in the Torah that you cannot decide whether you should understand the mil'el or mil'ra. Does it go on the beginning or does it go on the end? What are those five? Se'es, Mishukadim, Mochar, Orur, Vekam. These are five separate psukim. We're going to go into this in greater detail in another moment. But before we go into the detail about the five psukim, what the Gemara continues on is Vatanya, and I have a braisa, who Yosef Ish Hutzel, who Yosef Habavli, who Isi Ben Yehuda, who Isi Ben Gur Aryeh, who Isi Ben Gamliel, who Isi Ben Mahalalel, Uma Shemoi, Isi Ben Akiva Shemoi. This individual, Yosef Ish Hutzel, as you see, had five or six different names. Why did he have so many different names? is a machloikis among the mafarshim. The Marsha, not here, but in the Sechtas Nida, says because he had many different kishroinos, many different talents and qualities, and each one of these titles is suggesting or is a reference to the qualities that he had. Other mafarshim simply say that Yosef Hishutzo, for reasons that we are not familiar with, unfortunately had to flee from place to place to place, because of the authorities, Ganovim, who knows why, and therefore he had to go each time he came to a different place. He got a new name. When he came to Babel, or he left from Babel, he was called Yosef HaBavli, or these other names or aliases, because of the fact that he had to run from place to place. Why are we bringing this? We want to identify that Yosef Hishutzal is the same person as Isi ben Yehuda. So back on the Amud Aleph, we had both names. We had Yosef Hishutzal was the one that asked, Mipnima, is that, does that mean that it's part of the Kodesh Kedoshim? Or does that mean that that's the final line of demarcation before you enter into the Kodesh Kedoshim? That was Yosef Hishutzal Shaila, based on how you interpret Mipnima. That same Yosef Hishutzal, with a new name on the bottom of the Amud, was Isi ben Yehuda. He says that there are only five psukim in the Torah that we're not sure exactly how to define. The Se'es, Mishukadim, Mocher, Orer, Vekon. According to what we just said now, there should be six psukim, these five here on top, and the pnima on the pnimi, on the nun beis amud aleph, on the amud aleph. Everything with the raisa leka, in the Torah itself, meaning the chamisha chumsha Torah, there are only five words where I have a shaila. But in the viyika, but in the viyam, you got more. What a more? That's mepnima, because that's a pasuk in Malachim, that's not a pasuk in the Torah. So in the Torah, there are only five. But in Nach, you got more. Now, you notice here on the top of the Omid, you have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But I'm looking on the side to see where those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are, and I don't see the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it must be some mistake in the printing, or maybe they printed it somewhere else. Anyway, regardless, for this we should go and take out Chumashim. So I think we should be able to see it. So you please give us three Chumashim. Shkoyach. Also for my good friend Barry, and please take a chumash for yourself, so we can all look up the psukim together. Thank you very much.
No, she didn't include this pasuk, so he obviously there's no question.
No, not that there's no question. He didn't include the pasuk because these five psukim are psukim in the Torah, and that was a pasuk in Tanakh. So when he gets to the Tanakh class, he'll say, Rabbi Yisai, in addition to the five that I already taught you in the Torah. Okay, so the first one is Se'es, which is in Bereishis Dalit. Vorshteto and Bereishis Dalit. Hevel and Kayin had both brought their kavanos. As we recall, the Kadosh Baruch Hu was very, very happy about Hevel's carbon, but he was not happy with Kayin's carbon. I'm looking in Perek Dalit, Pasuk Hey. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't bother even paying attention to Kayin's mincha because it was not good. The Kadosh Baruch Hu was upset, so Kayin got very upset. The Yipluponov, as you know, ultimately he went and killed his brother. He went and killed Hevel. But Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Kayin in Pasuk Vav, why are you upset? How come your whole countenance has fallen? How are you tainted, Se'es? If you do good, and if you do tshuva, and you do masim toivim, Se'es, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu will atone for any and all sins that you have made, or may have made. V'im lo yiseitiv, but if chas v'shalom, you didn't do good, and you didn't do tshuva, la pesach chatas roideit, then your chait, your sin, will be sitting there, waiting there, crouching there at the Pesach, at the opening. Which opening? Well, she says the opening chas v'shalom of a person's keder. Anyway, but let's focus on the word se'es. The pashut way, the way you learn the pshat in the pasuk is haloyim teitiv, if you are good and you're going to improve and you're going to do tshuva, se'es, Hashem will lift, he'll be noisei avayin, he will lift up and atone for your sin. That's the easy way of learning pshat. However, there's another pshat. Haloyim teitiv, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Reb Yid or Reb Goy, Kayim, do tshuva, be good. And se'es v'im loy seitiv. If, however, if you're not going to be good, se'es, then you're going to have to carry along your aveira that you have. La Pesach atas roivets, and that aveira is going to travel with you all the way to the Pesach of your keder. So the question is, how do you learn the word se'es? Do you learn it together with halayim teitiv? Or do you learn it with the im loy seitiv? Let's see how Rashi says this. Top of the Amud. Se'es, top Rashi. Haloi imtetiv. If you're going to be good, se'es. Then the Kodesh Baruch Hu will be noisei ovoi. The Lashon Slicho. There will be an atonement. Or, maybe you should say, haloi imtetiv, period. And now, se'es, if you're not going to improve and you're not going to do tshuva, then you're going to be noise, you're going to have to carry this sin with you. So that was shayla number one. Shayla number two is the word mishukadim. Now, what is the word mishukadim? That's in Shemois Chafei. So let's turn to Shemois Chafei. As we'll see in a moment, the psukim are out of order. We're going to have to go back and forth to gracious again, but okay. So nishkefer, look. Shemois Chafei. And we're talking now about the Menorah. As you know, the Menorah was very ornate and very exquisite and had many beautiful ornamental designs. So, we're now up to the Pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Aleid. Chofei Lamed Aleid. Brother Shai, do you mind if we continue?
No,
please. Okay. On the Menorah you had 4 Gevi'im. When we say the Menorah, we don't mean the whole Menorah. The whole Menorah had 22 Gevi'im. But the Gevi'im we're referring to is on the base of the Menorah. If you're looking in an art scroll Chumash, you see even a beautiful picture where you have 4 Gevi'im, 3 on the top, 1 on the bottom. Gevi'im means look like cups or goblets. And it says in the Pasuk, Mishukodim Kafteireh Ufrochecha. The kaftoirim, as you know, are those button-like objects, or Rashi refers to them like tapuchim, like apples. Ubrochel means that they look like floral ornaments, like flowers. So the question is the word mishukadim. What does the word mishukadim mean? Mishukadim literally means that they are engraved like shkedim, like almonds, like nuts. Meaning that apparently there were many, in the good old days when they manufactured these, that they produced these types of silver objects, like a menorah, they would make beautiful engraving designs and ornaments, and mishukadim, this is just like they engraved with the appearance of almonds. So here we have an engraving of other things. What are the other things? The gevi'im, the kaftoirim, and the prachim. These goblets, and these button-like ornaments, and the prachim, and the floral ornaments. So the question is, what is mishukadim referring to? Is that going back on the word gevi'im, or is it going back on the kaftira, or frontwards, kaftira of rocha? In other words, it could say in the pasuk, you could read the pasuk of Amenoira arba gevi'im mishukadim, and it also had kaftira of rocha. Or you could read the Amenoira arba gevi'im mishukadim kaftira of rocha. Now, we, of course, have the benefit of the trop. And in this case, under the word gevi'im, you have an esnachta. An esnachta means almost like a seif pasuk. You take a break. And then you mishukadim kaftireh ufrocha. But the Marsha and other mefarshim explain that our Gemara is talking about an age or an era where they had forgotten or they did not have the mesoira of the trop. And therefore, without the trop, if you just have these 6 words, there's no way of determining whether Mishukadim goes on the Gevi'im, or whether it goes the Kaftirah of Rochel. You could easily read it, Gevi'im Mishukadim, that the Gevi'im were engraved in the Menorah, or you can read that a Kodesh Baruch Hu said that a Menorah should have 4 Gevi'im, and engrave the Kaftirah of Prochel. So once again, it's not clear. So next Rashi, Mishukadim, Arba Gevi'im Mishukadim, Oy Mishukadim Kaftirah of Rochel. So that was question number 2. And now we get to question number 3, which is Mochar. Mochar, we have to go back a little bit to Shmois Yud Zayin. Tosis already notes that the psukim are out of order, and notes with a question, how come? There are other Gemaras or Midrashim that bring this same Gemara, and there, in fact, it's in order. But here, we're going back to Parsha Shlach, Bishalach, and we're looking at Perek Yud Zayin, and we're looking particularly at Pasuk.
Yes.
Pasuk Tes. Oh, thank you very much. Pasuk Tes. V'yayim Moshe v'Yeshua. B'chal lono anoshem v'tzehi lochem ba'amalek. Moshe Rabbeinu saying to Yeshua, go and choose soldiers and go out and fight Amalek. Mochor. And tomorrow, anoichi nitzav v'roish ha'giva, I will be standing there on top of the hill. L'matav kin v'yodi, and I'm going to hold on to the matav of the king. So now the word mochor could be written or could be understood 2 ways. You could understand it that say, hilochem ba'amalek mochor, go out and fight Amalek tomorrow, and already today or tomorrow, I'll be standing there on the hill. Whenever you start your fight, your milchama, the battle, I'll be on the hill. Or you can learn, but say, Lachem Amalek, go out and fight Amalek already today, tonight, this afternoon. Amachron tomorrow, I'll be standing there and you'll be waving to me, I'll be waving to you, etc., etc. Anyway, the point is that the word machar could be written or could be understood mil el o mora, and that's the next Rashi machar. But say lachem amalek machar, or you say lachem amalek miad, go out to battle immediately. Machar anoich nitzar vayoyim miad to terech letvilasi. Today I'm not going to be mispalu, but tomorrow you're going to need the tulis and machar, and tomorrow I'll be there on Rosh Hashanah. So that's number three. We're now up to number four, Arur, and we're going back to Bereishis now. Bereishis Memtes. And we're talking now about the Birchos Yaakov. Now, where is this in Memtes? Bereishis Memtes, where Yaakov Avinu was very angry at Shimon the Levi. And if you go to Pasuk Vav and Zayin, we're in Perik Memtes, Pasuk Vav and Zayin. It says about Shimon the Levi, "Besoid matavi nafshi, bekalam atechad kvoidi, give apam hargu ish." This word or, which is the beginning of Pasuk Zion, the way we understand it, or apam, Kadosh Baruch is not cursing, not Yaakov Avinu is not cursing his sons, but he's cursing their af, their anger, the anger that they had to go out and fight against, number one, the Anshei Sodom, the Anshei Shechem, Chamor and Anshei Shechem, at the time of Dina, and the Tzomskuli, they also fought against Yosef, and he's called Shar. So, HaKadosh Baruch was angry at their af, their anger, their fury, to go out and start fighting and causing trouble. Sure, that's the Parshat Shat. However, you could learn, Uvitzoinim Ikru Shar Or, and the word Or, therefore, is the last word in the Pasuk Vav, and then you start a new Pasuk, the word Apa. And it's referring to Shor Or. Who the Shor Or? These are the bad guys. Rashi says that these are the bad guys of Shechem or of Canaan. And therefore, with Tzoynim Ikri Shor Or, they wanted to go and uproot the Shor Or, the bad guys, from Shechem. So if you go back to Rashi again, Or, the second narrow line, with Tzoynim Ikri Shor, Or Shor Shor Shechem, Shehu Mi'or Kanaan. Shechem apparently was one of the children or descendants of Canaan, and therefore we already have Or Kanaan, Eved Lamai, Vehi Kanaan, Eved Lamai. So therefore, the Orur is saying about the accursed people of Shechem, who are descended from the accursed people of Canaan, those are the ones who were Tzayin Mikushar, that they went to kill them after the Bris Milah by the Masa of Din. Oi, Or Apa Kimiyoz, Apam Kiyoz, like we learn normally. So that's again the fourth question. And the final question is Vikam. Vikam gets us all the way down to Dvarim. And then it's talking about the Misa of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Petira of Moshe Rabbeinu. Where is that? Dvarim Lamed
Aleph.
Lamed Aleph. Lamed
Aleph.
In Vayelech, thank you.
Yeah,
exactly, that's one of the Pesachim. Okay, it's Pasuk Tez Zayin. Pasuk Tez Zayin, you have a different page 580. You have that Pasuk Tez Zayin. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hincha Shoychi v'Ma Veisecha. You're going to pass away and join your avos. The Kama Omazeh, and after that, unfortunately, this nation will rise up. V'Zona Achrei Lehei Nechar Oritz, and they're going to do Avodah Zarah. Ashuv Hashama V'Azavani V'Eves Brisi. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu the bad news that after he passes on, unfortunately, future generations are going to sin. So that's the Pashup Shatah Kamo Mazah, that this nation will rise up, and they're going to be Mizana Achrei Elehei Necha Oritz, they're going to do Avodah Zarah. However, there's another way of learning Pshat. You could say, V'yom HaShem Moshe, Hincha Shefer Avisecha V'kam. The bad news is that you're going to pass away. The good news is V'kam, that eventually there will be Tchias HaMeisim, and you will be reborn together with everybody else. In the meantime, unfortunately, ha'amazeh v'zanach re'lenech ha'aretz. Unfortunately, this nation is going to go and go astray after the Avodah Zarah. So therefore, again, the word v'kam can go in either direction.
Well, use it as a brew for Tchias HaMeisim in the Torah, I
think. Yeah, look at the Rashi. Zog Rashi v'kam. We're now 10 lines from the top of the Yomid. Him chashoich v'am v'secha v'kam. and the Khan, and this is one of those Ramazim, Ramaz Leitchias HaMesim. That's one way of writing. Or even Kamu HaMazev Ezana. So therefore, these five psukim, it's difficult to be able to ascertain with absolute certainty whether the word goes mil el or mil ra, whether you read it as part of an earlier phrase or the beginning of a new phrase.
I mean, the ra means
the word mil el mil ra. Mil el means whether you read it on the backwards or frontwards. Frontwards or backwards.
Mil ra comes the shortest of backwards. Mil ra.
Mil el means that you read it on the front, and mil ra means you read it. It has nothing to do with the word ra.
Okay.
Yes, mil ra just means that you read it afterwards and not
okay.
Yeah, frontwards and backwards. So backwards would mean you add it to the previous word. Like in this case, you would add the word become.
The etymology of the word.
Yeah, no problem. I don't know what the etymology is. Yes, there are terms, milel mara, how you read it with it goes. For instance, you have the trop. If the trop is the beginning of the pasuk, you say it's milel.
Yeah.
If it's the end of the word, end of the word, you say it's mara. Good. So those are the five. And that's why the Gemara asked on Yosef Ishutzel, who is Utz Isi Ben Yehuda, how do you have the Mipnima that you said that's another word that I'm not sure? Because that's not part of Chumash, that's part of Nach. But Frey Gemara, Ubidrai Seleka, we're now on the sixth line from the top of the Amid. You're telling me in the Torah there are no additional words? For Ika, I have another issue. Which is the other issue? The Boy Rav Chisa. Vayishlach Hasnari Ben Yisrael V'yalu Oilois. Put the word kvasim in parentheses. Vayalu oilais. Vayizvachu zvachim shlomim lashem parim. Now where does this pasuk appear? Oh, so we got to look for this one. This pasuk appears in... Here it doesn't even say. It's a
Mishpatim, isn't it?
It should be a Mishpatim. It would be easier if we had a Gemara that had the... does it say in your Gemara where it's located? We'll see. Ah, shkayet. Vayishlach. Oh, here it has it. It's in Shemois Chav Dalid. Looks like hey. Let's try Shemois Chav Dalid hey. Shemois Chav Dalid hey. You got it?
Yeah?
Okay. Baruch Hashem. Thank you, Brother Shah. Chav Dalid hey. But Yishlach has not been Esau. This is on page 226 of your Chumash. 226. Let's K on the bottom. Got it?
Yeah.
But Yishlach has not been Esau. Vayalu Oilais. They brought oilos. Vayizvachu zvachim shlamim lashem. And they brought also shlamim. Parim. Now the word parim, which means of course oxen, clearly modifies the zvachim shlamim. The zvachim shlamim were parim. The question is, does it also modify the word oilos? Were they vayalu oilos, which were parim, and zvachim shlamim lashem, which were also parim? Or maybe not. Maybe the oilos, for instance, were kvasim, or eilim, other animals. And then the shlamim were part of it. Doesn't say one way or not in the pasuk. It could easily be the yalu oilos zizvachu shlamim lashem parim goes on everything oilos and shlamim, or it could easily be the yalu oilos. That's one thing mushal kvasim, and then the zvachim those are the part. So that's also an issue. So getting back to our gemara, I boy ikadoy rav chizda. And maybe those oilis were kvasim. The Gemara adds this parenthetical word, it doesn't say in the pasuk. The kvasim, maybe the oilis were lamashal kvasim, or for that matter, maybe they were elim, or other, come on, maybe ezim. Or maybe the parim modifies both, and therefore both the oilis were parim, and the shlamim were parim. So I have another pasuk, it's not only five, I got six. Everything was Rav Chizda Masaklei. Rav Chizda Taka had his doubts. He wasn't sure. The Issa ben Yehuda Pshito, Issa ben Yehuda knew for sure what the pshat was in the pasuk, and that's why he doesn't add it to his list of five. And then you're going to ask me, which way did Issa ben Yehuda decide? I don't know, because the Gemara doesn't tell us, and Rashi doesn't tell us, and the Mepharshim don't tell us. But it was double portion to Issa ben Yehuda. It's one way or the other. I don't know which way, but one of the two ways for sure. This is almost reminiscent to Havdol of Kissinger. Kissinger was trying to broker a peace process and a peace treaty between Egypt and Israel. So Kissinger went to Sadat and he made the following proposals. And Sadat said, absolutely not. I will never agree to that. Then he took the same proposals to Begin. And he asked Begin, what do you think about these proposals? Absolutely not. I will never agree to those proposals. And then afterwards, Kissinger was at one of these news interviews, and then the reporters asked him, Luke Kissinger, what do you think? He says, I think we're making a lot of progress. Yeah, how do you know? Because I see there's basic agreement on certain fundamental issues. The agreement being that he said absolutely not, and he agreed absolutely not. So Issa ben Yehuda says it's a double parsha. For sure, I know what it is. But which one it is? The Gemara doesn't tell us. Is it the Parim or is it the Kvasim? So that remains a question mark. But the Maisa, he has five where Hitaka didn't know. So Eis, Mishkan, Mocher, Ohel will come. For us, it's a little bit easier because we have today all of the trub. And basically, the Marsha says, based on another Gemara, apparently in that period of time they had forgotten the trup, or they didn't have a Masoida for it. Therefore, they didn't know how you, because all of these psukim like order, it's a brand new pasuk. It's not just a question of trup. Is it pasuk one, pasuk two? But according to our Chumash and our Masoida, none of these are really problematic.
Just before I go forward,
yes,
just, I had the benefit of the art scroll. How is this Mishukadim, the Devim? Mm-hmm. Well, how does this, the way they illustrate it?
They are engraved. They look like grooved. They grooved.
But I don't see any
engraving because they look like they're protruding.
It's a drawing, Shai. If you look at the texture of the surface.
Well, you're an engraver.
Yeah, if you look at the texture of the surface, sometimes you have surfaces, especially with the menorah, since it was hammered out of one piece. You have a surface that's smooth and glatt, and then you have some surfaces that are hammered. There's incisions in them and everything. So what it's saying is that they were mishukadim like almonds. They were on the surface of an almond shell has grooves in it, and the question is, did mishukadim? Did that just go on?
So this cup here, or this picture here, when you see the this below is what's engraved.
Whatever surface it is, was the surface smooth, or was and without interruption, or was it grooved?
So mishukadim
grooved refers to like the almond shell has pits and grooves in it, which give it a texture.
Uh-huh. Oh, see that? Uh-huh. But moreover, adding to what Barry is saying, that the pasuk says about the. About the menorah, that it should be made kosis. And Rashi always says, when it says kosis, it means that you don't go and add pieces by soldering on a damn rope.
One piece.
You chisel it all out of one large piece. Right. So they had this one large piece first, initially, and then they chiseled out. Mikshah. Thank you. Assume you came just the right time to correct me. So the masa, so we have over here that they were engraved because think of it as being a much larger piece, and now you're knocking it all away, so you're engraving into it.
This whole area over here.
The gavim are the three goblets. Inside each gavim, you have inside it a kaftar. On top of the kaftar, you have the cup where you put the shemen.
What would you say the gavim are the top? These are the gavim.
No, the gavim are not the top ones. The gavim are the ornamental cups on the sides and on the bottom.
Like flowers.
No, not flowers.
Three cups.
There's
balls,
cups,
and flowers. There's a cup over here.
Okay.
And you have three cups over here. These are cups.
22
all
together.
These are cups which are just ornamental.
They're hollow.
So it says Shlosh Gavim Shukarim. That's these pieces here, referring to them.
Yes, kaftar. So on every single one of the branches, there were three.
Right.
And on the base, there was one more. That's how you get to 22 altogether. Otherwise, it would be 21, 7 times 3. And now you have the additional one at the bottom.
Gavim usually means like a cup, like Yosef.
For sure.
But this wasn't a...
They look like cups.
They're stacked. It's like shy. Like you take cups stacked together.
Thank you very much.
Please.
It was so difficult. It starts so much massive noise, so I told you, okay, the Kosh Baruch Hu made the first one.
Perfect. Beautiful. It's good. Everything is fine. We'll continue on. Look, the Mishnah. We're continuing to talk about the two paroiches in Achitzoy. No, he said perupa. The word perupa means pinned back. Min hadorin, from the left hand side. Now, the Pnimius was min hatzofen from the northern side. So how did the Kohen Gadol walk? Mahalach b'neim, he would start off by going through the chitzoyna, that's the outer curtain, the one that faced the heichal, and the Kohen Gadol would walk in from the left hand side, that's where it was open on the doren, that was the left hand side of the heichal. The heichal, remember, goes from Mizrach to Maariv, so to the right is Tzofayim, and to the left is Doren in the southern side.
This is Rabbi Yossi's shita.
Rabbi Yossi holds it was only one.
I'm sorry, this is...
This is Rabbanan Shita.
I'm sorry, the Shita right there was two.
Exactly. So according to Rabbanan, there were two. So you go in from the left-hand side, enter, and then you just see to the right and to the left, these two curtains, and the Kohen Gadol walks in between the two curtains, opening Mismunat Tzofin, Mahalach Beinayim, and he walks, how long is the walk? It's 20 amos, approximately 40 feet, because of the fact that the width of the Heichal, the Kodesh Kedoshim, was 20 amos. Opening Mismunat Tzofin, Mahalach Beinayim, he walks that length, Achimagil Tzofin, until he gets now to the end of that narrow corridor. So he's now on the Tzofin side. He gives itself in hoyfech pan of the darim. So now he turns his face towards the darim, meaning he enters into the kodesh kedoshim, going through the pinimis, through that inner curtain. And as he enters, he doesn't just go straight ahead, but he turns to the left, hoyfech pan of the darim, towards the southern side, mahalach, and he walks l'smoylai on his left side. Until he gets to the Aron. In other words, very simply, the Aron was in the middle of the Kodesh Kedoshim. He entered into the Kodesh Kedoshim from the right hand side. I mean, everybody agrees you entered the Kodesh Kedoshim from the Tzofin, from the right hand side. So Rabbi Yossi said that there was only that inner curtain, so you didn't have the outer curtain to walk through the whole corridor, but it was open on the right hand side. And even the Rabbanon hold that the inner one was open on the right hand side. When I say right, that means on the northern wall. So as soon as he gets in, he has to turn towards the Mizbeach. Where was the Mizbeach? In the Mizbeach. The Aron, thank you. The Aron, see, twice already. If you would come earlier, Simi, you'd be such a wonderful help. Anyway, the Aron is smack in the middle, and he has to walk to the left to get to the Aron. So that's what he did. Malchus Marim HaPareches HaChumakil the Aron. He gives the Aron once he hits the Aron. No, he says, he puts down the Machta Ben Shnei Abadim on the floor between the two Badim, between the two long poles which are extending on both sides from the Aron. And so it was a Ketoidus Al Gabi Gecholim. And then he pours out the Ketoidus onto the Gecholim down below. First of all, the Mishnah has skipped one major step, and that is the chafina, which means he has to take the ladle, and using the acrobatic act that we spoke about a couple of days ago, which was one of the avodas kashas of a mikdash, he had to turn it over upside down and have all of the contents of that ladle spill into his two hands, and then he takes those two hands full of ketores, and now he goes and pours them out on the gecholim down below, and as a result, in the smal kolabayis kol yoshen, and then the entire bayis, at least the Kodesh Kedoshim, would be full of oshen, full of the beautiful incense, wonderful scent of the Ketores. Before we continue, before we get to the Gemara, the Mishnah on the surface is a tremendous pella. Yes, David, you have a question.
Yes, I have a question. As I understand, in Mikdash Shabbat, there was a, instead of the two parochot, there was a drachli.
Correct.
So this refers to Mikdash Sheni.
Our Gemara refers to Mikdash Sheni.
On the other hand, in Mikdash Sheni, there was no Aron.
Beautiful.
Aron is Nikal, as you learn in the next mission.
David, I thank you very much for bringing up this point. As you are saying it, you also have two other colleagues. Both Barry and Simi both are nodding, and they agree 1,000% that this Mishnah on the surface is very difficult to understand. Why? The Mishnah obviously is talking in the times, as you pointed out, that Beis Mikdash Sheni, because Beis Mikdash Rishon, there weren't curtains. There was the Amatrax, and there was the wall that we spoke about in the Amud Aleph. The second Beis Mikdash that had the curtains didn't have the Aron. So these two just don't work hand in hand. Guess what? That's going to be the Gemara's Kasha as soon as we finish the Mishnah in Yetzer Shem. But it's a very good point. Yes?
As a matter of, I haven't discussed that, so.
Shoot.
How did we discuss how he actually poured the toast onto the coals?
3 days ago, 4 days ago.
After the Avodah Kasha.
Exactly. Well, the Avodah Kasha was to get from the ladle into the hands. Now I think Simi's asking from the hands and onto the coals.
Onto the
coals. Yes, we're going to talk about it at the end of today's daf, what we already spoke about 3 days ago. Zok the Mishnah Baita. Yotza, finally, Kohen Gadol finished this avoda. Uvoloi b'derech beis knisasa, and he went out the same way that he came in. Now, for Shteitzach, he went out the same way he came in because there's only one entrance way and one exit way. But what the kavanah of the Mishnah is that he walked backwards. He didn't go and walk frontwards, but backwards. Why did he walk backwards? So his back wouldn't be towards the mokim of the Aron. And now when he comes out to Mispal Tefillah, it's already says a short Tefillah, and that is the Tefillah that we have in the Machzorim. The Gemara is going to quote it tomorrow, Me'at Hashem on the Yomid Beis. And he makes a Tefillah Ketzor Beis Achitza, and he enters into the Heichel. V'lo Yomar HaTefillah, but don't make longer Tefillahs now, no longer Shmanesris. Koyin Godu, Shleil HaHav, this is Yisrael, so the Klai Yisrael shouldn't be all noivis. People say, oi, 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 Chas Hashem, the Koyin Godu, maybe he passed away, he hasn't come out yet, there are problems. So a short Tefillah. And again, the Lashon HaTefillah Nusach will have in tomorrow's Gemara, and we have it in the Machzor.
How did they pin up the curtain if they're not allowed to walk there? So it wasn't the Kohen Gadol who pinned it up.
They pinned it up from the outside, in the Heichal.
But that was an inner, it was the inner curtain.
Even in the inner curtain, there was the, according to, remember we have a Suffolk.
Right. Okay.
How did they put up the curtain in the first place? Yeah. How did they put the Aron into the Kodesh Kodesh?
Right, the workers.
The workers are allowed to do it because otherwise you wouldn't have the Aron inside the Kodesh Kodesh. So, Zotimoyetz, the Maya Skinim. Let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, and we had the Kasha that was already posed by David Fishman together with Simi, together with Barry. The Maya Skinim. Elim and Mikdash Rishon. We have a Parochus. There was no Parochus. Elamai Mikdash Aini. We have an Aron. There was no Aron. Votani, we learned that a Brisa. We learned this already before. We had this in Shkolim. We had it not too long ago here also in the Sechthus Yuma. When the Aron was hidden away, who hid it away? Yoshio HaMelech. What's the reason why he hid it away? Is because, we'll see in the Gemara in another few lines, because there was a prophecy of one of the Nevi'im, Yoylech Hashem Oyscha V'yes Malkecha Shetokim Alecha, that unfortunately Yidden are going to go into Golus, and therefore he was afraid that the Klei Mikdash would also go into Golus, so therefore he decided to hide some of the major Klei Mikdash. What were those? Mishnigdus Oren. He went and was going to the Oren. Where exactly is the Oren Nignaz? Is a machloikis back in the Sechta Shkolim, whether it was right underneath the Kodesh Kodoshim, or whether it was underneath the Lishkas or Eitzim. Anyway, but it was Nignaz there in the Mokam HaMikdash. Nignaz HaImai together with it was Nignaz Utsit Tzenes HaMon, the flask of Mon that they had, Utsloichi Shemen HaMishcha, and the flask of Shemen, Makli Shalaharen Ushkadea Ufrochea, that we have in next week's Parsha, in Parsha's Koirach, the Arga Shishogru, Plishtim Doiris Lekei Yisrael, and the Argos that the Plishtim sent back as a present when they returned the Oren to Klal Yisrael, that Oren had caused tremendous misery, tremendous destruction for the Plishtim. So as a shtickle atonement, they went and sent back a present together with the Oren. Shenemar Ukle Azob Hashem Shavoyisam Loi Osham Tosimu BeArgos, all those presents that the Plishtim sent along, go and Tosimu BeArgos, put into that box, Mitzidoi next to the Oren, Ushlachtam Oysoi V'holach, and it went. Join. So all of these things were nignas at the same time. Umi gonzei who was goinis? Mishio gonzei. Ma rosh gonzei. Why was he goinis? Rosh kasev. It says in the pasuk Yod Hashem Oyischa Yis Malka Hashem Tokim Alecha. Oh my, the gonzei. He said, oh, I'm afraid of the consequences that Chas Hashalom all the klei mikdash are going to Golus. So he was goinis. Shenemar. It says the pasuk Yimel Aliyim Hamivino L'Chol Yisrael Kedoshim Hashem. Tenu Esaran Hakodesh Babayis. Put it into the bayis. Shabbat Shlomi Ben David Melech Yisrael. Ein L'Chamasa Bekatif. Now this is very strange.
Yeah, because that Mishnah not carrying anymore.
Yeah, well, that's the second part. But the first part is he told them, Yeshua and Melech told the Levim, go and put the Aron HaKodesh in the bayis. What do you mean put in the bayis? It's been in the bayis now for the last 400 years or whatever it is, until Yoshua Melech's time. It's been in the bayis in the Kodesh Kodosh. What he meant to say is put it in a subterranean tunnel somewhere underneath the bayis. That's what you should make. Put the Aron. Why? So that if and when Chas Hashem, Klal Yisrael will go into Golus, you're not going to have to carry the Aron away because the Aron will remain here hidden in the Kodesh Kodashim or underneath the Kodesh Kodashim. He was up there.
If he's afraid that what, that they'll take it away, so Shaitza. But if they're going to take with them, so. So it's clear to mean that they're going to still have it. But usually they'll pay that upon four hands, right?
You won't have to carry it because it's going to remain here underneath the base of Mikdash. That's what he's telling you. You won't have to carry it because it's going
to
stay here.
But we had in Shalom, actually, there was Machlokes, so there was a Shita that was taken to Babel.
There are three Shitas there back in Sechta Shkolim. One says it did go into Babel. One said it was underneath the Kodesh Kodashim. And one says that it was in the Lishkas Eitzim, underneath the Lishkas Eitzim. says that one of the Kehanim once went to Lishkas Eitzim, and he noticed that one of the tiles was higher than the others, and he touched it, and he showed everybody, and unfortunately, he died on the spot. Anyways, the three different
Shitas. So, Babel, Lishkas Eitzim, and
underneath the Kodesh Kedoshim. So it says, Yimara Atta, and now says Yoshua Melch Rubim, since you're not going to have to worry about the Masa B'Katev, after Idzus Hashem L'Kech B'Sam Yisrael, you'll have other ways of serving a Kodesh Baruch and Klal Yisrael. You won't have this duty, you'll do other things. Okay. Anyway, how do I know that besides the Orain was also Nignaz et Tzene Samon, L'Toych HaShon HaMishcha, Makvish V'Haran, all those other things? Says Yimara Asya, because I learned Gzeir Shavis of Asya Shama Shama, Asya Doiris Doiris, Asya Mishmeres Mishmeres. What are those three words? Shama Shama, Doiris Doiris, and Mishmeres Mishmeres. So Rashi told us already. If you look at the Rashi, about 8-9 lines before the wide lines down below, Asya Shama Shama is a Rashi. Ksib Ba'oran Esher Ivoy Lecha Shama. So the Oran says Shama. Uksib Tzitzen Esamon Vesen Shama Meloy Oymer Man. Ah, so therefore I'm learning now Mon from the Oren. So just like the Oren was Nigmas, the Mon was Nigmas. Now the Asit Sleuchis mitzim tennis Haman. We're going to learn now the Sleuchis of the Shem and the Mishka from the Mon. How? Doyri starts. Xibit Tzintzenes by the Tzintzenes Haman, it says, L'mishmer is a Doyri Seich. Uxibit Sleuchis Shem and Mishka Kodesh Yezeli, L'Doyri Seich. So the Doyri Seich is one for the other, Doyri Seich and Doyri Seich. That the Shem and Mishka also went into Golas. The Asi Maklish Alahar Mitzitzenes, the Mishmeres Mishmeres. The Chesivit says in the Pasik, and the other one we already said the word Mishmeres, the Sent Shom Maloyo Eimer Mon, and it should be Tzitzenes Ladoyr Sechem, the Mishmeres Ladoyr Sechem. And here it says, by the Maklish Alahar and the Mishmeres Laoisman, they marry, Mishmeres Mishmeres. So all of those went into Golas. Anyway, but getting back to our kasha, what was the kasha? Laman of Shach. If it's a mikdash sheni, there is no oren. If it's a mikdash rishon, you don't have a paroiches. Everyone, the oil of mikdash sheni, are to a mikdash sheni. Umay gile oren, ma koim oren. Even though it says in the Mishnah that the koyin gadol went to the left and he gile oren, he got to the oren. We don't mean the oren literally. We mean where the oren was situated, where it was located in the first place of mikdash. In other words, he had to visualize in his mind virtual. Everybody knows what today what means virtual. So the virtual badim, the virtual aren't, he put down the macht on the ground where the badim were initially, originally, and that's what he did the avoidah mitiktoris with the gachal. Now, Thomas Akhtoris al Gabi gachal. Tanan, Kiman, the Omer, Soivra. What is this Tanan Kiman the Omer Tzoyva? We had a couple of days ago that when the Kohen Gadol put the Ktoiris on the Gecholim, one man the Omer said that he kind of scattered it. He went back and forth, putting a little bit here, a little bit there, going back and forth several times. And there's another man the Omer that says Tzoyva made it like a Tzibur, almost like a heap. So the fact that our Mishnah says Tzavar, it's like the man the Omer that says Tzoyva. But now the question is, when he heaped the Ktoiris on top of the Gecholim, there are two ways of doing this. The Machta, let's assume that the Machta is Yichvais, 1 foot long. So, do you start from inch one, inch two, inch three, and then keep on pouring on the Ktoiris first until you get to inch 12? Or do you start with inch 12 and you go backwards, 12, 11, 10, get closer to you? Do you start from the part which is closer to your body and move outward, or do you start from the outermost part and you move inward as you are spilling the ktoiris on top of the gechol? So you say to yourself, what difference does it make?
You can
burn yourself. Oh, Tazoi, Simi, you're really on
fire.
You're on fire today. Exactly. Says the Gemara. Tony Chodem went, Bryce, it says, Tsoivra Pnima Shi Chutzalai. You start from the, you Tsoivra Pnima, in other words, you move from, towards yourself, starting from the chutzalay, from the outermost part. The other bryce says, "Faker tzoyver chutzashi penimalay." That you go and tzoyver outward in the outward direction by starting penima close to himself. Amar Abaye, it's not a stira tonight; it's machlekes tonight. The Amar Abaye, Mestabik Amar the Amar penima shechutzalay. I prefer much better the penima shechutzalay. Why? Did not? Belamet oisay. He's zar. Be careful. Shloi taschel nipanecha shematichva. Don't start right in front of you because Chas Hashem, you're going to go and burn yourself. So Rashi says on top, very, very simply, shloi taschel nipanecha litzvar v'leilach hala. Don't start the heaping of the ketores next to your body and then move further and further away. Shematichva. Why? Shaktoyrish etzavar to litzivcha by eris tami. As soon as you put the incense in the fire or on top of the gecholim, it's going to get fiery. As you are spilling out the rest of the ketores onto the fire, you're doing it from your hands. You're not doing it from a kli. And therefore you're extending your arms further and further towards the end of the machta of the gecholim. And guess what's going to happen? Nichva, it'll get singed and burned with timur ha'oila as a result of the ocean and the fire, which is now ola, which is going up. So therefore, says Abaya, it mechanically makes more sense to do it the other way and not to do it this way. Net Shem will continue on tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.